want to read a passage of Scripture tonight, beginning in verse number 7. This morning we kind of looked at the desire of Satan and the desire of the saints. Can we identify with Simon Peter tonight and say that sometimes our desires get out of whack, or maybe get out of balance, or maybe even get out of line? Amen. Can we admit that tonight? Tonight I want to look at the desire of the Savior in this text that's before us tonight. The Bible said in verse 7, then came the day. I see right here a time. I think it was the writer in the book of Ecclesiastes that said there's a time for everything under the sun. There was a time for Jesus to die. But here there came a time, the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, this passage really spoke to my heart. Go and prepare us the Passover, that we may eat. And they said unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare? You remember, Jesus didn't have a home. He said, the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. So it was a fair question. Where wilt thou that we prepare? Where should we set up? Where's the fellowship hall going to be, Lord? And he said unto them, behold, when ye are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in. And you shall say unto the good man of the house, the master saith unto thee, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? He shall show you a large upper room furnished. There, make ready. Is that passage not special? I mean, Jesus didn't just fly by the seat of his pants. He believed that everything ought to be done decently and in order, and that preparation ought to be made. You know, I think we should make preparation for our time with him. I think we should make preparation before we come to the house of God. We ought to try to get our hearts in tune and get our minds upon the things of the Lord. And they went and found. I want you to look at those next three words, or four words, as he said. Haven't you always found it just like he said? Amen. And they made ready the Passover. Now look at verse 14. And when the hour was come, he sat down with the 12 disciples, and the 12 disciples with him. And he said unto them, here's our text tonight, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. In the same chapter that Satan has a desire that's revealed, the Savior, the Lord Jesus, has a desire that's revealed. Satan desires to destroy these men, and Jesus desires to develop these men. We'll look at that tonight. He said, for I say unto you, I will not eat, or I'll not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and he gave thanks. And he said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread, and he gave thanks, and he brake it, and he gave unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup of the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Pray with us tonight, would you please? Father, thank you tonight for the reading of the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, tonight that we can go back and learn from our Savior, learn from His disciples, apostles, learn, Lord, about our enemy. Lord, tonight we want to just concentrate for a little while on the desire of your heart. Lord, you said, delight thyself also in the Lord. He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Lord, that scripture has always meant to me that if I will walk with you and I will delight in fellowship with you, that your desires will become my desires. And Lord, that you'll fulfill those desires in our heart and in our lives. Father, tonight, I pray you'll bless the Word of God. Lord, for those tonight that don't yet know you, I pray something might be said that would create in them a yearning to know forgiveness, a yearning to know what it's like, to know that, Lord, if we breathe our last breath here, our next breath will be in glory, in the presence of God. Help us tonight, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning we concentrated on verse 31 where the Bible said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Then the verse 32, but I have prayed for thee. I mean, he's glad tonight he's making intercession for us. He ever liveth, the word of God said. He has a continual priesthood. It's not just something that's spotty here and there. But thank God he ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. Tonight, we want to look at the desire of the Savior. I'm noticing the details here, how that he tells Peter and he tells them, he and John to go and prepare the Passover. The first thing that I believe that the Lord desires from you and from me is faith. The Word of God said, without faith, it's impossible to please God. We must believe that He is. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And the Bible said down here in verse number 19, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. And this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. I believe the first thing that the Lord desires of us is faith. Coming to a place, as Brother Thurman taught us this morning, where that we acknowledge and understand that we are the sinner and He is the Savior. Amen. I didn't say He's one of the Saviors. That faith in the fact that He is the only Savior. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I believe that the first step is the step of faith. Little Sawyer, he's back there in the nursery tonight. I believe you could set little Sawyer right here. He won't stand yet. He's too lazy to do that. He's like his papaw, amen. But you could set him right here and you could let papaw get right down there and just go like that. And that boy would do everything he could to wiggle his butt off of that pulpit and jump down there in my arms because he has a childlike faith. He knows. He knows that Papaw loves him, Brother Larry. Boy, it was a happy day in my life when I knew there was a God in heaven that loved me. A God in heaven, if I would look to Him, would catch me. Wouldn't let me fall off into the region of the damned. That would record my name, amen. And that one day when the roll is called up yonder, I could be there and hear my name. Faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Why would anybody hope to go to heaven without faith? Why would anybody hope to be ready to leave this world without being born again? You see, the Bible declares that we're all sinners, and I believe that right here in the scripture, Jesus said, with desire have I desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Jesus knew that he was not given his life on an old rugged cross, Brother Ralph, because we were good people, but he was given his life on an old rugged cross because we were sinner people, and that the people could not help themselves. So he would go to the cross and he would willingly suffer and willingly die and all that he requires. And I know that the Bible talks about repentance and faith, but they go hand in hand. And for a person to turn to the Lord, he must get sick of his sin. And for a person to get sick of his sin, get any help, he's got to turn to the Lord. It's repentance and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Word of God is teaching us right here that Jesus' desire is that we believe him, that we have faith in him, that we trust him as our Savior. The Bible said, I thought about Brother Thurman's testimony this morning, except you come as a little child, you'll in no wise enter in. Yeah. Honey, I couldn't figure it out that night. I tell you what, I wouldn't want a God that I could figure out. I'm going to trust the God that figured me out, amen, and figured out a way that every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, it didn't matter, my friend, what size we were, what education we were, what background we were, what color we were, but he made a way that every individual in the world could come by way of the cross and be saved by the good grace of God. Now, I'll tell you, that's a God that I can trust tonight. He wants us to have faith. That pleases him. He desires that we have faith. The second thing I see in the text tonight, it starts with salvation. And I appreciated that song, Brother Ralph. You know, there is a difference between religion and salvation. There was a time in our nation's history that if somebody said so-and-so, if they said, Brother Gale got religion, why, it meant something. Amen. I mean, it meant something. It meant that Jesus had done come on the scene. But nowadays we understand that a whole lot of people have religion and that's all they have. They don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus. One thing I learned in the prisons preaching for 10 years, the prisons are full of religion. They're full of religion, religious experiences. But not many of them are pointing men to Jesus. And Jesus is where a relationship with God can be had through his Son. The second thing I see that he desires is fellowship. I want you to turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of John with me tonight for just a few minutes. I won't be long this evening, God willing. But I want you to see that not only does God desire faith, the Lord Jesus desired faith, but the Lord Jesus desires fellowship. You say, preacher, that's so elementary. You ask a question. How much time did you spend fellowshipping with him today? This week? It might be elementary, but how many understands that if Satan knows that Jesus desires something, that he's going to do everything in his power to break that up, to cut that out. Amen. Because, you see, he doesn't want that pleases God. He's in a contest all the time. He wants to tear your heart away from the Savior and mine as well. Look at verse number 1 of chapter 13. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, you remember over and over and over in the Gospels, Jesus would say, mine hour is not yet come. Mine hour is not yet come. Mine hour is not yet come. But honey, there come a day when his hour came. Let me give you this. There'll come a day for you and I when our hour is going to come, Brother Steve. I don't know when that is. One preacher said, if I knew where I was going to be when I died, I'd never go there. We don't know where we're going to be when we die. We don't know when we're going to die. But according to the Bible, we do know that that's going to happen one day in our life. Our hour is going to come. Now watch this. He said his hour come that he should depart out of this world. Boy, I like that. Unto the Father. If we looked at death for the Christian the way we should, it's just a departure out of this world into the Father's presence. Amen. The Bible said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We're going to go next week. And listen, I'm just confessing that when that little baby, when Amelia gets here, Papa's going to be thrilled. But according to the Word of God, we'll be weeping when they come in and rejoicing when they go out. And we do just the opposite. Am I right or am I wrong? And Jesus is desiring fellowship. I want you to see he's going to depart out of this world. He's going to go to the Father. I love this text. Having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. The hour, Brother Larry, he's right up against it. But there's one thing that has not changed from the beginning to the end. He loved his own. Can I tell you tonight, that still hasn't changed. He loves his own. And he desires. I don't know how that was worded the other day, Miss Eve. And I think I said something like this to Miss Eve. I had Sawyer up in my lap and he wants to slobber on me and he wants to kiss me. And I said, you know, Miss Eve, I sure do love this boy. And she said, you know what, honey, he loves you too. Boy, would it be said of Jesus, Brother David, we sure do love that Savior. Somebody could say that Savior sure does love you too. It goes both ways. Amen. Amen. And Jesus said, having loved his own, he loved them until the end. What we're talking about is a desire, not only that we have faith, but listen to me tonight. You're looking at a preacher that believes we cannot fellowship with him until first we're saved and we are birthed into his family and we must exercise faith. Then we can fellowship with him. The Bible said here, in verse number 2, and supper being ended, you see it's a parallel text. The devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he was come from God and he went to God, he riseth from supper. He laid aside his garments and he took a towel and he girded himself. I believe when he washed the feet of the disciples, you remember this may give us a little bit of insight into that attitude that God had to deal with in Peter's life. When he said, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have thee, that he might sift thee like wheat. And Jesus here, Peter said, you're not going to wash my feet. You forget about that, Lord. You're not going to wash my feet. And Jesus said, if I don't wash your feet, then you don't have any part. Well, he said, okay. He's still opening his mouth and letting it loose. So I'm like, okay, if you're going to wash my feet, just wash me all over. Yeah. Jesus said, you don't have need to be washed all over. In that land, you know, their feet did get dirty and dusty. And it was a custom. And Jesus said this to his disciples. He said, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. In verse number 17, he said, I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled. He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it come to pass, that when it come to pass you may believe that I am he. Verily I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me. He that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. Jesus desires fellowship with his children. Look over, if you will, at verse number 33. Jesus said, little children, yet a little while I am with you. You shall seek me. As I said unto the Jews, whether I go, you cannot come. So now I say unto you, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. Let me say something to you tonight. If I'm in fellowship with him, and you're in fellowship with him, hey, but one thing can come out of that. We love one another. You say, preacher, where do the problems come from in the home? Where do the problems come from in the heart? Where do the problems come from in the house of God? I'll just tell you this right here. Somebody got out of fellowship. If we're walking in fellowship with him, it's not about our way. It's about his way. It's not about me having my way or you having your way, but it's fellowshipping around, praise God, a blessed old rugged cross where he bought us and paid for us. And we're not our own anymore. We belong to him. If we're in fellowship with him, then, beloved, one of the evidences of that is you love one another. You love one another. I tell you this, nobody had to coach me. I'm serious. Nobody had to pump me, Brother Coulter. Nobody had to pride me. Honey, when he come on the inside of me, I just love people. I don't just love God's people. I love sinner people too. I believe our Savior, brother, he was accused of being a friend to sinners. Dear God, wouldn't that be something wonderful to be accused of? You don't have to be like them to win them. Don't get me wrong. That's not what the Bible's teaching. We're supposed to be separate. God's people are. But I tell you what, when people get so separated, they can't even give a kind word to somebody that's lost. They're too separated. Because I believe they've separated themselves from fellowship with God. You say, preacher, that's a strong statement. Honey, if you're walking in fellowship with God, you love what God loves. How many knows he loves the world so much that he gave his only begotten son? And whosoever believeth in him. Brother Grissom, we're not sending missionaries around the world to tell good people an old story. We're sending missionaries around the world to tell rotten people, just like we were, the old story, that they might become a child of God. Make heaven their home when they leave this world. The Savior has a desire tonight. He desires that we have faith, that we put our trust in him. You know, Sawyer will grow up. I got Aaron and Avery with me tonight. And Aaron and Avery, they both helped Bob move furniture yesterday. You say, why didn't you help him? How many knows why? But I could stand Avery up here. He could balance himself right here. He could put one foot this way, one foot that way. I could get down here tonight and say, jump, Avery. He can talk now. He'd probably look down and say, you're out of your mind, Papaw. You don't have any idea how much I weigh, Papaw. I know what your back's like, Papaw. But yet every one of us has to go back. It doesn't matter how old we are, to a place of childlike faith. Well, we can say, God, I ain't got it figured out. But I do know this. I'm the sinner. And I do know this, Brother Thurman, what you taught this morning. You're the one. You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. You're the Savior. And here I come, Lord. Here I come. The night I got saved, really, I'm being honest, all I desired, Brother John, was to get out from under that condemnation. And And I knew I was on a road that was leading to hell. I wanted to get off of that road. All I desired was to be forgiven and to know, Brother Paul, that when I died, I wasn't going to hell anymore. But honey, I got so much more. I got so much more than that. Sister Theresa, are you back there? Where are you at? There she is. I got a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I got somebody to walk with me and talk with me. Somebody to lead me. Somebody to show me the way. Somebody that had a bright light in the dark times. Somebody that would carry me when I didn't have enough strength to walk on my own. Somebody that would fellowship with me. There's a desire. He said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. Now watch this. As I have loved you. How many of you, like me, before you got saved, you look back now and you thought, well, that was unlovable. Let me ask you something. How many of you have acted or said something or done something in a way since you've been saved that according to some you'd be unlovable, but not with Jesus? And he said that's the way we're supposed to love one another. As I have loved you. That's why the Bible was able to say over there, Brother Eddie, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed to the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you, and be kind one to another, tender hearted. You know what that's doing? That's loving one another the way he loved us. Forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. And if we could get anything out of this tonight, we could understand that when we don't fellowship with him, it grieves him. When we don't forgive one another, it grieves him. It grieves him. And so Jesus said here, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I've loved you, that you also love one another. I'm going to use a little illustration. I didn't plan on it, but verse 35, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one toward another. What if Brother Rose and I were out visiting together next Saturday morning? We get out of the car, we're at each other's throats, the people standing up there on the porch, and they hear us arguing and a fussing, and then we want to go up there and tell them how much God loves them. How much, that ain't going to work, is it? Well, let me tell you something about the precious Holy Spirit. Even if they didn't hear us, he did. And he's not going to bless our efforts while we're grieving him. Amen. Tonight, simple little message. Jesus desires that we have faith. Jesus desires that we have fellowship. Jesus desires that we finish our course. Let me give you what I mean by that. You remember, Peter he's in a mess in Luke chapter 22. He's letting his mouth get ahead of his heart. You and I have done that sometime or another, ain't we? And normally it's with the one that loves us the most in this world. It'll be with a spouse or a youngin' or somebody that's real close to us. But listen to me. When it come time for Peter to die, he left outright. He may have been messed up in Luke chapter number 22. He may have been over there by the devil's fire, and he may have been warming. He may have been saying, I don't know him. But tradition has it that he didn't even want to be hung the way that Jesus was hung. He said, I'm not even worthy to die like that. I believe with all my heart, our Lord desires for us to finish right. You know, I say this tonight as a pastor, it would be my heart's desire that when Jesus comes, how many would like to go on the big load? I'd like to go on the big load. You say, well, preacher, you're young. Tell my body that. It doesn't feel too young. I can tell you that right now. It might not be an old model, but it's got high miles. I can tell you that right now. But let me say this to you tonight. How many would like to, if we have to leave out on the big load, or we get to leave out on the big load, how many would like to leave out in fellowship with Him? How many would like to leave out loving one another? And the world around us saying, that's a bunch of His disciples. You understand, in the book of Acts, they didn't call themselves Christians. It was others that said, that bunch is just like that Jesus that we just got rid of. What a blessing that is to be accused of that tonight. I'm just glad you come tonight. Faith. Do you believe? Do you believe tonight that the Word of God is right? Do you believe God created the heavens and the earth? Do you believe that man in the Garden of Eden made a bad mistake? Actually, you could say a fatal mistake, because death came by sin. Sin entered into the world. Death by sin. And now death is passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Do you believe that Jesus gave His life on an old rugged cross? That's more real to me. It's just real. That's what faith does. It takes something you can't see and it makes it real to you. I remember years ago standing in Israel with a group of people. A bunch of preachers were standing around me and the tour guide. He was telling us, this is the tomb where it is believed that they laid the body of Jesus. And I tell you, I just uncontrollably went to weeping. One of the preachers said, what's the matter? I said, I'm glad I didn't have to come all the way over here to know that that tomb is empty. That night He saved me, Brother Gale. That wasn't no dead Savior that saved me and worked in my heart that night. It was a living Savior. And then I believe it would just be good and healthy to believe. Not only did He go away, you men of Israel, why stand you here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, whom you've seen gone into heaven, is going to come again in like manner. I don't know about you tonight, but if you believe that, the Bible said you'll purify yourself. Amen. Even as He is pure. I believe tonight God wants us to have faith. Then I believe God wants us to have fellowship. You say, preacher, it's a simple message. I know. I don't apologize for it. I'm glad I sat under a preacher, Brother Thurman. He wasn't trying to impress me with the enticing words of man's wisdom. But he just read back and preached this old book like it is to me, just like I was. I too was sitting on the front bench, only I was 27 years old. Had been a church member for 6.5 years. But I tell you, that night I found something a whole lot better than religion. It was a relationship with the Son of God. Let's bow for prayer tonight. Father, thank You tonight for the privilege to be in Your house. Thank You, Lord, for the Word of God. You said, Lord, with desire, I've desired to eat with You. Lord, what a desire. I believe, Lord, the disciples, had they been thinking right, the apostles would have been just thrilled that the likes of you would want to have a meal with the likes of them. And Lord, that's the way I feel tonight. I stand in awe, Lord, that you would give your life for the likes of me. And then, Lord, that you would give your life to the likes of me. Lord, I pray tonight you'd speak to hearts.